I'm Bill Littlefield.
It's disappointing that in my hometown won't be able to host the All-Star game as they have planned. Obviously, I understand Adam Silver's decision.
That's Golden State Warrior star and Charlotte, North Carolina native Steph Curry talking to ESPN on Thursday. Curry was reacting to news coming out of the NBA commissioner's office that the All-Star game in 2017 will not be in Charlotte, North Carolina. That's where it was supposed to be, and that's where we'll start this week's Three Stories You Should Know. Joining me are sports writer Eric Malinowski and David Steele of the Sporting News. Welcome back.
Thanks, Bill.
Thanks for having me.
David, tell us more about the decision coming out of the NBA commissioner's office.
This is something that they have been discussing ever since HB2, the House bill in North Carolina, with all the limitations and restrictions and laws of, about the treatment of LGBT and transgender people there, first came out. The league was very excited about coming back to Charlotte. It's a market that they love, that they're very happy with. They got to a point this week where they just couldn't sustain the possibility of keeping it there. The owners, the teams, the other franchises, and the players so far have been 100% behind it. And I don't think that they would have been able to make a stand like this and make a decision like this and put this sort of pressure on the state if everybody wasn't on board with it.
The NBA did the right thing here, which is great. Give them all the credit in the world. They had to make this decision. But they're also a business. And the NBA also decided on some level that this was also really good business.
There is a lot of evidence that loss of income or potential loss of income can change how people view legislation. The vice presidential candidate of the Republican Party learned that when he pushed through a law that would have allowed business people to discriminate against members of the LGBT community in Indiana. He had to back off that law. And if the NBA's decision encourages people in North Carolina to say, hey, wait a minute, this is going to hurt us in the pocketbook, and to oppose discriminatory, fear-inspired, utterly illogical legislation, more power to him. I hope it happens. David, you want to wrap this up? I'm out of breath.
The NBA has a history of this. The NBA put on subtle pressure back in the 90s in the state of Arizona when they were fighting each other over the Martin Luther King holiday. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And even though the big lever was wielded by the NFL with the Super Bowl, the NBA played a very, very big part of this. And I think that the politicians in the State House and the governor's office really underestimated the NBA's resolve in using their leverage to get what they wanted.
Eric, I can't actually see you right now, but I am picturing you wearing a backwards Mariners baseball cap because you want to talk about Ken Griffey Jr., right?
Yes, along with my Mike Piazza jersey on. Yeah, I mean, the Baseball Hall of Fame is having its annual induction ceremony this weekend, and they're two really legitimate, iconic superstars going in. And we said one is Mike Piazza, who, you know, is the greatest hitting catcher of all time. He was drafted 62nd round, so never give up on your dreams, kids. But yeah, the other one is Ken Griffey Jr., who, you know, was really just the consummate five-tool player. He could do anything on the diamond excellently. You know, he followed Cal Ripken in the 94 baseball strike. Cal Ripken, who, you know, quote unquote, brought the game back, you know, with his Iron Man streak. And then we had the home run chase from 98 to 2001. And I feel like in that time frame, Griffey kind of got lost a little bit sort of in the baseball collective conscious. But I think to fans of a younger age, Griffey was immensely important. Like you said, it was the backwards hat. It was the Nike spots. It was that sweet left-handed uppercut swing. It was the Super Nintendo game. I hope that we use this weekend as an opportunity to remember exactly the impact it was that Griffey had, not only in the game back then, but I think on the game that remains today.
Baseball has had such a upheaval over the last few years, the last few decades, the record books and the scandals and just so much change. And not necessarily something for the better, and a lot of hard feelings. But who could ever really be upset about anything connected with Ken Griffey, except for the fact that he kind of got lost in the shuffle a little bit? I mean, he was as great an ambassador for baseball as anybody in our lifetime.
I like to remember, and I'll use the Hall of Fame weekend as an excuse to remember one particular image, and that was in 1990 when Ken Griffey Jr. and Ken Griffey, the original, were actually teammates. And they not only were teammates, they batted 3 and 4 in the Mariners' order. And in what other sport could you have father and son playing together at the highest level of the sport? You don't see a lot of NFL guys playing with their fathers.
What a romantic notion of baseball. You know, we talk about fathers and sons playing baseball. He actually got to play with his father. I mean, that's like raw, uncut baseball romanticism right there.
All right, I'm going to stick with baseball because I am concerned about the national pastime, or at least I'm going to pretend to be concerned about the national pastime. MLB Commissioner Rob Manfred said this week that he is in favor of, quote, something like restricting the number of relief pitchers a manager can use. I don't know what something like restricting the number means. I don't like the sound of it. The commissioner's concern, of course, is the length of baseball games. He and others are charged with marketing the game, which, by the way, is thriving. Profits are very high. Perhaps they also figure that fans would rather watch hitters knocking around very tired pitchers than fresh relief pitchers striking those hitters out. Whatever the logic behind the commissioner's support of something like, I don't like it. Unless we're talking about a safety issue, I think we should let the managers on the field do the managing. Let's not interfere by fiddling with the rules.
You know, baseball has this habit of looking at what can make the game more fun and make it more popular and doing the exact opposite. It's sort of a...
It's not easy to learn to do that either.
Zach's like, well, you know, Ty Cobb never faced, you know, four fresh relievers in the late innings of games. So why should these guys? It's baseball has survived. You know, really, honestly, all the attempts to by baseball itself to hurt it, and it really tells you something. It's the loyalty of the fan, the people who recognize it. There's a kernel of something that they truly love and truly relate to.
You know, baseball has had a rash this season of players getting popped for PEDs that were more common amongst East German swimmers in the 1980s. But yes, this is the scourge that is really going to take baseball down, is the overuse of bullpens. I just want, you know, if Rob Manfred is truly concerned that baseball drags on for far too long, then my advice to him would be to take a more macro level, shorten the season to 154 games, to back to what it used to be, and then you don't have the World Series butting up against Halloween.
I'm so glad that neither of you came out for the seven-inning game or two strikes and you're out.
Baby steps, baby steps.
My guests for this week's Three Stories You Should Know have been sports writer Eric Malinowski and David Steele of The Sporting News. Thank you, both of you, very much.
Thanks, Bill.
Thanks for having me.